Commission of CIRA, as well as civil society and the Ministry of Police. Everybody that's here today, welcome to the Portfolio Committee on Police. Honourable members, as you might know, in terms of our program today, we're going to have a CIRA going through the third quarterly. Maybe I just wanted to, before we start, just give an overview to members of our program for the next 2 weeks, just to indicate where we are, and maybe our original plan for next term. Honourable members will remember that we will have this meeting until about 11:30. Then tomorrow we will have SACS with us on the third quarterly as well. We will also, I think, have crime intelligence on the issues flowing from the previous budget tomorrow. We were also destined to meet tomorrow with National Treasury on Program 6. Now, members will remember that meeting has been on the table for some time, but on Friday I was informed by Treasury that the DG is travelling with the Minister overseas, so he's not available tomorrow, so we will just postpone that meeting to April regarding Program 6. In next week Tuesday, we were supposed to have the actual SACS as well as the Secretariat on the research program, but next Tuesday is the relaunch of the DDCI judge in Parliament, and I think all members are going to be invited to that function. So it's going to be a clash, so we won't have a program next Tuesday. And then next Wednesday is our strategic planning for the rest of the new financial year, and it will be just be a revisit and a short analysis, and I don't think it will go beyond 1, so it will be from 9 till 1. So that's next Wednesday. So that's our program for the term. In the third week there's nothing. The Parliament won't sit during that recess period. Colleagues, then, just to indicate in terms of our planning for April, we're going to start with the budget hearings when we come back. All the departments and all the entities, so members must just be, but we will forward that program to members at the latest next week. So that's more or less just the announcements for today. I'm going to first give an opportunity to the members to introduce themselves, and then I'll ask the chairperson of CIRA also to introduce her delegation. Honourable.
Good morning. I'm Jerome Mantake, a member of this committee.
Thanks, Chair. Good morning, Samurani Zatel and Ben, a member of the committee.
Good morning, ladies and gentlemen. My name is Kimona, a member of the Social Committee.
Thank you very much. Then I want to say, Sida, welcome back to the country. We're very glad you are back safe. Our course will be with you. And we're very glad that you are here this morning, and we're looking forward to the engagement chairperson. You're welcome to this delegation.
My girl, Mahori, our Deputy Director of Finance and Administration, commonly known as the CFO. She joined the CIRA in November last year, and Mr. Biden holds the number of staff who is with the executive team. Thank you.
Thank you very much, Professor. Thank you, Chairperson of the Board, for your introduction of the delegation. Without further ado, we're going to allow the Executive Director and the Chair to continue with the presentation. Thank you very much. I've just brought to my attention by the content advisor that apparently there's a technical glitch. Hopefully it will be sorted, but there is also hard copies available for members to follow the presentation. So we're today really in a very small venue. Parliament is very busy, and hopefully at the next meeting we will have a bigger venue. So yeah, thank you very much, Chair and Executive Perry. I maybe also want to draw members' attention to this document that was made available by the Research Division of Parliament on the third quarterly. So members are very much welcome also to peruse through it and also use it during the engagement, this document. Thank you very much also to the researchers for that. Thank you.
Good morning to honorable members of the Central Committee. Thank you once again for the opportunity. Let me also take this opportunity to wish all the women in the House International Women's Day before I start. Just as an overview, we are going to be also giving the House just some key highlights in terms of where we were, as well as the touch on the progress on the program phase, and of course the organization of finance and some financial results. In terms of slides, I should be now going to slide number 5, the one that's starting with key highlights. This is the governance measures. Chairperson, you will recall that we were busy with the governance review. We have made some progress in that area. The draft charters have been presented already to the chairperson and are awaiting consideration by the entire council. And it's the draft charters of the council, subcommittees, and so on for the review. So hopefully, by the time we come back to the house, we shall have been approved and everything in place at the time. Chairperson, in terms of the strategic achievement against strategic objectives, we hope that year to date, as we are, we have already achieved 85% of the pledged health targets. We are hoping to achieve, of course, 100% by the end of 2010. So far, we're doing very well. From the cash flow point of view, the annual fees, we have, by the end of the third quarter, collected almost 85% of the annual fees. And that is over 102 million collected. This is quite a very good collection compared to all the years that we have been with this organization. In fact, at the time when we collected, we also had some calls from the bank. They were asking, what is it that we've done? Why is the money going up so much quickly? And I'm actually, it is because of the cooperation, the collaboration we've had with the industry, because we have we have gone out on joint statement with the industry to say that the industry must now pay the fees because there is no longer a court case that's pending between the industry and the regulator. So we've done very well there. From a refund point of view, you will recall, Chairperson, that we came and reported that because we lost the case at the time, we've offered the industry to refund money. So we've staggered the refunds in 3 years, beginning 2012. And then we said to them, we agreed with them on certain conditions that must be accompanying the applications for refund, because we can't do blanket refunds. We are pleased to announce that the there's some considerable progress in terms of the refunds. We've published in last December for people to come and apply for the funds, companies. So far, I think the applications were green, so we decided in the end of January that we need to expand to allow those that have not seen the applications, because we're interested in applications. But the truth is, Jefferson, the requirements that were put for the applications seems to be very difficult for the industry to meet, but they're quite very safe requirements. We said to them that they need to prove that they have paid us, they need to show us that they have given us returns as they were supposed to have given us at the time, so that we can have some point of value. So we're not seeing anything come through again. So the next batch is in February, which will be for the 2014 year, and that is about 28 million, and then we will then be doing 2015 later, which will be also closing in March. So we're hoping that we will be for the application. So far, I think for the first batch that we're supposed to have been done, we may safely say that there will be no applications for the fund, just under 20, if I recall very well. By the end of the financial year, we should be at time to recognize the amount that's deserving for the organization. Going to slide number 6, we have over 270,000 new certificates with issues, which is almost 20% of the current amount achieved for the period. We are also planning to open all this new funding. On the training side, Chairperson, the draft training regulations will define minimum standards. Will be published this month. We will also be launching the Pan-African Forum by the end of this month. You will recall that in terms of the planning, it's supposed to be in May. This will continue in May. May is the bigger discussion, but the actual launch will be this time. But we're hoping to get other countries in the SADC area to come with us so that we talk about issues of regulation and how we take on these industries. On the research side, Jefferson, we had a 3-year research program. We've already reported earlier that we have completed the project. And I think sometimes us people receive the last payment from the donor just to prove that we have fully completed the project. Coming to the financial side, perhaps I should give my colleague, the CFO, to take you through slide 7 from slide 7, I think slide 7, slide 8, the financial results.
Yeah, I think maybe let's just on this first part put some questions, and if there's members that wants to engage and ask questions, maybe from my side, I just want to know in terms of the interaction with the organized industry on the repayments, have they identified from their side problems, you know, and I think especially of the smaller firms, upcoming ones, that wants to contribute to the industry to ensure that we broaden the scope of ownership. Has there been any communication from them to you about the challenges being experienced? Because if you make it too difficult for them, it will be very impossible for institution, you know, for new upstream institutions to really comply. Can we just maybe get a view on that? Let's give other members who want to come in at the stage, Honorable Molabatsi and Honorable Mabele.
Yeah, I don't know if you're still coming. What I'm going to ask you now in your presentation, but my question is on you have been having in the past some funds that could not locate which was the thing. Is this a remit? Yes.
Thank you very much, Honorable.
Thanks, Jim. Just two quick questions from my side. One is in relation to the launch of the Pan-African Forum. I think my suggestion of the information in a written submission later, but just for now, I'd like to ask for an outline of what the sort of concepts and mandates and sort of rationale behind the forum is. Let me just tell what I did mention there, so it was around sort of collaborative discussion on regulation of the industry, but just to expand on that piece a bit. In particular, of course, as you may remember, this is kind of my little bugbear, is around finding innovative ways to extend private security services to poorer communities so that it does remain the preserve of sort of middle class suburbia. So just to find out if it's going to be part of the problem going forward. And then in terms of the opening of the new offices in Bloemfontein, what's the process being done there? Is it public works who tends to be a bit of a mess, or is the plan hold in place to make sure that we won't run into any problems around managing that property, whether it's a lease or a purchase? That's it.
Honourable Mabija, and then again Honourable Mabachi.
Thank you, President. I may just elaborate on the establishment of health African Forum.
Thank you, Honourable Mabija. Honourable Mabachi.
Sure. The 10 Forum again. You say you were supposed to have been launched in May, and now it has gone to 30th March. What caused this delay? Thank you.
Right, honourable members, that is the question on the first part that was presented by the director. You're welcome.
Thank you, Chairman. Can I, before I proceed, Chairman, just clarify the question: is it with regard to the new annual fees or the refunds?
The refunds.
The refunds. Chairperson, we have received from one company a complaint that we have had put very stringent requirements for them to apply for the funds. And we have since replied to the company. Let me just reiterate the kind of requirements that we have to apply for them. First of all, you will recall that the fees were supposed to have been paid, and then we increased the fees to no fees. So we want to refund the balance of what we've overcharged. Now, the requirement is that please show to us that you have submitted your returns that you normally on a monthly basis have submitted. If you, for instance, have 100 employees, you need to show to us that you have submitted a return of 100 employees. For us to be able to verify that, we need a point of reference. So we said, please show to us that at the time that you submitted those returns, you equally submitted the same returns with the Provident Fund. Because if you say you have 100, then you need to say to the Provident Fund you have 100. So those are the requirements, basically. We said to them that if they're not satisfied, then we'll go to the extent of checking whether indeed you have such contrast of it. That's what we applied like that. And of course, we can also go to the extent of checking whether your taxes were in order at the time. So those are the requirements. We do not believe that they are very stringent. We believe that you were required to put your returns. That's the only way that we can know how many people you have. So that's the only complaint that we have here insofar as this concern. What we've done is we said that the smaller companies, because of the smaller amounts, because at the bulk of the amount, some of them is about 1,000, it's anything between 100 and 200, and so those ones we will just immediately credit. But we can't do a blanket refund. Yes. They have to come forward and say, they're 200 rands, I'm entitled to it. This is the reason why I'm entitled to it.
But if I listen to you, maybe I'm wrong, but it seems you're going to return a lot of these fees. Am I correct? So it's a win for me.
In this case, I must say that the truth of the matter is that the industry is undisclosing the people that they employ. We know for a fact that if a company employs about 100 people, they will come to us and say they employ 80 so that they can keep the profit out of the 20. So this is a way of verifying whether it's true.
Thanks for that. You can continue with the other responses.
Yes. Thank you, Chairperson. The allocation of unknown deposits, we have since overcome the challenge. Honourable member, it comes almost every year. It's inherent in the business, in the sense that you still find people that go to the bank and make payments without actually stating who they are and so on. But how we have resolved the problems is we're working together with the lenders. We from time to time request deposit slips so that they are able to identify the deposits. And we are keeping the threshold within the allowed threshold by the AG. I will hand over to my colleague who just will elaborate on the African African Forum. But before I do that, let me tackle the issue about the new offices in Burundi. We have advertised now, I think, for the second time. The first time we didn't have any response. The second time it is not closed. I think last somewhere early that month, the second advert. I'm not quite sure where we are in terms of that. But we are finding it difficult to get responses. We have engaged public website. They've all said that they have a challenge in terms of offices there because apparently most of the offices in Bloemfontein are owned by one kind of party. The majority of the buildings in Bloemfontein are owned by some foreign national who owns a lot of buildings there. It's very difficult to get the presidents. We're hoping that at the end of the day, so they couldn't really assist us as well.
You're probably welcome.
As a brief follow-up that just occurred to me, I can't remember if we covered in previous engagements with Sura, but just to get clarity on why the opening of a new office in Bloemfontein. I might be confusing with IPED, but I seem to recall that there's a clustering of provinces in some operational regard, so there's a gap there to sort of cover the free states and some other provinces.
The House will remember that we do not have representation in three provinces currently, the Northern Cape, the Free State, as well as Northwest. So the office that we plan to open in Bloemfontein will cater for the Free State as well as Northern Cape. So we'll try to close the gap. So people travel long distances to come to see certificates.
Maybe just on the response with regard to the payments, from a risk perspective, do you anticipate any litigation on your requirements, or are you quite happy that you covered all bases, that you don't have a contingency going forward?
Well, Jefferson, the company that the reserve was intends to take us to court. That's what they said. In the main, they are saying that the court judgment did not say that we must put requirements, and neither did the court judgment say we must refund it. The refund is out of the organization itself. So we're hoping that we will be able to defend if we are taken to court. So from this point of view, there is a possibility, but currently we are not refusing to refund any person. We are saying that it can't just be the blanket refund.
But I mean, you will have a contingency, you will have the funds available if there is a dispute. I mean, that's my concern from a risk point of view.
Jefferson, we intend to apply for recognition of these funds once the entire process is completed. There is no dispute. We've handled. We've made provision for an adjudication committee of all the applications, including a review of those that are not satisfied, even after. The applications have been processed. So once the entire process is handled, then we will be able to move forward. So we'll make provision for it.
Thank you. You're welcome to go ahead through that response.
Thank you, Professor. With regard to the Pan-African Forum, I'll just give a brief rationale in terms of the concept behind the event. We're trying to tackle the regulatory issues on the continent. We selected few countries in the continent which have shown key interest in the private security industry. Specifically, where also the industry has been growing. Namibia, Swaziland, South Africa is one of the host, Nigeria, Kenya. We are trying to, what we have conceptualized is that we'll be addressing the opportunities and challenges that the different regions are facing as far as regulating the private security industry is concerned. That's one. And in terms of the target audience, I have to mention the fact that we have targeted a wider audience, from regulators of the private security industry, policy makers, entrepreneurs, consumer activists, because we want to really create a debate in terms of how we crafted the program. We've crafted the program in a sense that we can touch on the regulatory framework, the consumer issues that are affecting the different regions across the continent, over and above the business opportunities that exist across the continent. And what we've also done in terms of what we are launching it in March, we want to create the hype before the actual, you know, the legal event takes place in May. Hence, we're saying let's start the launch with the various targeted regions so that we can unpack the topics that we have proposed and be certain that when you now do the actual listing on in May, at site event of security, because if you recall, when you asked us last year how are we going to make this event a success, which did indicate that it's going to be a sponsored event, and Securex has been very gracious to partner with us to make this a reality. And if you see the target audience that comes at Securex event, it consists of ordinary consumers and consumers and direct consumers of the private security industry, over and above a wider audience from all the continents and across the globe. Hence, we have partnered with them in this event to make sure that we host the South African event as a side event in May. But in March, we'll definitely be addressing the program to make sure that we tighten it up. By the time we do the bigger launch, the program has addressed all the issues that are faced by the selected countries that will be participating in May.
Honourable Mubashi Polai.
I think there's something that I missed here. When talking about May and March, I thought Manabella was talking of May 2015, you see, and now I understand.
Hey, what you the media?
So I will do my question. Yes.
Right, you can go ahead with the other responses.
I think I've covered the most.
Okay, right. Maybe just in terms of this Pan-African initiative, I just wanted to know, is there cooperation with DECO? Are you working only with private industries? Is there country-to-country cooperation? I just want to get a sense of that.
Honourable Malabasi. Sir, when I'm talking about opening of the new office in the country, it reminds me now about the head office, my favorite person. Plus about your head office. Where are you and what's happening with the old one and so on. And my second one is when you talk about the training of the new training, are we going to see a new curriculum or what? That's it.
Any other members on this? Oh, okay, thank you. You can go ahead.
So the immediate clarity in terms of the first question that was raised around the application
from myself.
Yeah.
I just want to know, in kind of configurating this in action with the other countries, is it done at through DECO? Is it done on your own initiative? I just want to know the lines of country-to-country cooperation, because it's international event. I just want to know what protocols you are following.
What's the chairs that have just been used for it to be in Bloemfontein? The office should be in Bloemfontein. The chairs that are used to pick up on Bloemfontein.
Right, thank you, Nimes.
Thank you, Chairperson. On the DECO question, we are not working with DECO on this one, I must say. But we can work with DECO if we are required to do so. We've done it, we picked up from the kind of research that we did first in the 3 years research with the other countries.
Deputy Chair of the Board, Mr. Rafi.
Maybe what we could do as Chair of the Board, just consider the fact that, because I think it's an important matter that you are raising. And that's the way that it might be useful. they may have two sides that we don't have with that development on the continent and even in the region. So we'll take care of the discussion and see how we meet at the important part of the
well, thank you very much for that, David Chair. You're welcome to go to the other responses.
Thank you, Chairperson. The head office, we are still at Centurion, Honorable. The office is at Arcadia Amsterdam. We are working with National Treasury to get the feasibility of building our own offices. In fact, last week we sent a letter confirming the process going forward in terms of the feasibility study, because there needs to be an organization that's appointed, the consulting organization, to assist us with the process. They have done quite a lot of work so far. I haven't gone through deeper into the content of the letter, but I just saw the letter when we were overseas as to the process moving forward. You will recall that in terms of head office, we have renewed the lease in the meantime that we are still in. The lease is going to be expiring, I think, in the next 2 months or so. So, actually, I have considered the renewed that lease while we're waiting for the process to unfold as to whether we're going to be building our office or not. And what we are receiving from Treasury is that we will probably have to consider a triple key process in terms of the if we were to, at the end of the day, decide to build on in Arcadia. So Arcadia is still there, it has not been disposed of yet. On the question of Bloemfontein, we are following a competitive process. We have advertised for bidders to come forward and offer offices for us, so it's going to be a competitive process, much the same as the other leases.
Right, members, can we proceed to the next presentation? Let's do get all the other presentations, then we'll go back to questions. But members, if there's anything from this round, you're also welcome to raise it again. Thank you, Director.
Slightly below. In the higher and in other income, what we is mostly covered in there is your channels, your recognition of prior learning and all the administrative fees that we collect you. And then all in all, what we when you look at the last two I don't know what to call it, the last at the end of the slide, you can see our total revenue is higher than the budget, which is also contributing to the liquidity and the solvency of the organization. And then maybe just to go to the next slide now. The first three bullets I've spoken about, and then I'll go to the expenditure one, where the expenditure, we are total expenditure is currently below budget, and due to the cost containment measures that the organization has implemented. And I'll just highlight some of the items that contributed to the saving and the printing cost. We also at 65%, this is most of the things that they are going to do. We just established now, and then we are going to run booking, and then there will be lots of expenses of printing and also and workshop. Advertising and publication is also at 63% of the budget. When we prepared this, the last the publication of the fees and the last in the administrative fees were done in the expense will be indexed in the next quarter. That's why it's below. Also the traveling and accommodation, these are the key items that was identified as one of the cost containment measures, is 89% below budget. Also the venue hire is also 74% below budget, because we usually centralize venues, some of the work of the in-house work of we use venues that are less costly. And then also the legal fees are 75% below budget. But here, we're going to have, at the end of the financial year, we'll have assess our legal costs and have contingent liabilities. It will be approved in this 75% below budget. And also consulting fees is one of the items that was identified as cost containment, and one of the items that can save cost. Most of the things that we are doing in-house, we are 49% below budget. Also the staff training, we have courses that help internally and we use them. We have a course development workplace that we follow to identify critical courses. We manage them properly to show that training that's offered is possible and as we organization. Or maybe one of the highlights that we I'm just highlight in the last financial year, the only concern for NGT was at a negative. Now currently we move from negative, we are in a surplus. Thank you.
Thank you. We will take questions on that after the other presentations. We can go into the others.
Listen, can I just find out, in terms of going ahead with the presentation, should we only concentrate on the areas that are end by end red, or should we just deal with everything, including the ones that are blue?
Well, I think the big thing is the highlights, and I mean maybe the challenges, that's what I'm interested in. You know, wherever you comply, that's fine, take note of that, but those areas that is currently a problem, I can focus on them more than maybe where you agree.
Chairperson, I think let me give my colleagues an opportunity to go through their respective areas. So the next one will be the finance, where the CFO will just take us through.
The target date was quarter three, and we managed to finalize the process of quarter three. So that everything is currently the target is too much. And also,
Sorry. And then the next one, and the audit opinion is also the unqualified audit opinion. We kept it at Elma. We have one item that was still outstanding at the end of the third quarter, which is the corporate governance framework, and also in our action audit action plan, we had seven items that are still outstanding, and we came to finalize those and seven audit findings by the end of the financial year. And then the corporate governance framework, as the CEO also already indicated in the first slide, that we are in a process, it will be finalized by the end of the financial year. And then the IT one, we are we don't have issues there. We have achieved all the targets that was indicated in quarter three. The next one, the IT governance framework, it was developed. We had the meeting, the council meeting that was planned we are going to have the IT steering committee recommended the policy, but the council meeting for review of policies will sit in March to finalize all the outstanding activities. So that's why it's in yellow. It will be finalized before the end of the financial year. I think that was the last one.
Listen, I'll just continue from here. I will do the law enforcement one just to avoid the movement, otherwise I would have allowed my colleague to. On the law enforcement side, we on slide number 18, you see everything is almost green there. We're doing very well in terms of the 10 targets. On slide number 19, it is red, which means that in that quarter we did not achieve our targets. But if you were to look at the annual target of 65% combined year to date on that quarter, we have actually almost achieved the final the annual target, because we were sitting at 73% at the time. So we have almost recovered in terms of that quarter. And the reason for non-achievement in that quarter is because in December there's quite very few days that are available to do inspections, so we have almost covered this in the new financial year. The next slide will be on slide number 20, which can also get much more positive today. Slide number 21, the number of business security business license to business firearms. We had an annual target of 1,000, and in that quarter I think we were short about 70 in terms of our target, and the reason for that was due to some of the vacant positions we had, but we've also since appointed, and we are going to be achieving the target in the fourth quarter for the year. And I think that covers law enforcement. So Chairperson, overall, it doesn't look very bad. We are going to be achieving almost all the targets in law enforcement sector by the end of this year. In fact, by now, we should have already achieved. I will send over to my colleague to take us through communications.
Thank you, Director. In terms of communication, registration, and training, I must highlight that in most of our targets, we have achieved most of our targets and yesterday, and we're doing exceptionally well. And you must have also heard from the CFO in terms of the cost savings, in terms of like we execute our targets, we did go and execute our targets, but didn't compromise on the budget at all. But if I can highlight the areas where we have a bit of a problem, not really a problem per se. When you go to registration, I think on slide 40, you will see that under business registration for the past quarter, the third quarter, we didn't meet our target. We missed our target by almost 14%. However, our annual target, we've already exceeded it. And it's important to know that when we do the renewal of registration, it's not just about meeting the target. We are also complementing the annual fee collection and the compliance aspect. So we never issue anyone a certificate if they have not paid up the annual fee and they don't meet the compliance requirements, the complementary exercise. However, we will definitely still overachieve our annual target asset. And then when you look at the slide 43, which is the number of surveys for the research, what we've done with this process was first to make sure that we do the comparison of the questionnaires and send out so that we can get the answers instead of doing the reverse. So we should be able to get all the answers as per the questions that have been sent for the research, and we'll definitely need this in the fourth quarter as said, because it's easier to get all the questions set up, sent out, and then consolidate the findings at the end. The policy, what we've done was also the policy with all the draft policies were tabled. We didn't have council during the third quarter council properly. So what we did was to present all the policies that were due for consideration during the fourth quarter. So this target, as I said before you, has already been achieved.
Let me take some lessons to complete all the highlights. Thank you.
Thank you very much. And members, we will now go per all the programs and the presentations, so we will give ample opportunity to members to raise issues that's been put on the table. Maybe just a couple of few from my side. Maybe I've missed it, but the copies of the research reports, they have been forwarded to the committee.
Yes, listen, we came with a box.
Okay, I'll go. Then I'm going to show you that. Right. Right, Dennis, questions in terms of the presentation? Of targets, you see it. Is it too low? Is it set too low? I just want to get a sense of that in terms of, especially investigations, to get a sense of that. If you can just maybe get your opinion on that. Other members? Other than Bailey?
Just to get a sense of the strategy for expanding inspection compliance capacity, because we did hear earlier that some of the security firms under report on the number of employees and any other aspects of the operations that have a fee liability. So if as we saw here, there is a bit of a shortfall in the compliance departments, and there are some inspectors who are still under training and some not able to meet their targets, is the surplus that seems to be building up going to be diverted and sort of put towards planning to boost that compliance inspection capacity?
Yeah. Right, thank you for that. Maybe two others from my side. On slide 42, I think the presentation refers to an independent service provider will be appointed to do the two surveys in quarter four. How was they appointed and costed? And then I don't know whether they were overseas during the budget speech of the Minister of Finance. The Minister especially made mention in his speech of cost containment regarding advertisements. Now, I see recently you're taking full page advertisements in the Sunday Times. Is that in line with the cost containment measures that's been set out by government and national treasury? Shouldn't we use other vehicles
terms of websites, government gazettes, and so forth. I mean, if we talk about cost contain. Honorable Molabachi.
Yes, sir. Your target to inspect a security businesses that do possess firearms is 220. You only inspected 203, which then says you have 17 left. Will you be able to reach your target by the end of financial year? Thank you.
Then maybe just the issue of corporate governance in program one administration. Most of the third quarter performance targets were met, but I mean there seems to be a challenge with council approvals. Now I want to get a sense, the scheduling of the council meetings, the presentation by the management, is it currently aligned? How can we improve that to ensure that we move with that? And it's not, you know, that asterisk or disclaimer there is subject to the court. Can we just get a sense of that as well? Other members for this round, let's go to responses and then we'll go to the second round. Thank you very much.
Thank you. The IT risk register was approved by the IT steering commission, and then we have the council will approve it in the, we have a dedicated policy review meeting in March with the council. All the policies and all the risk register will go to the council. It's a strategy for the policy. All the policies that are, even when you look at the country, there are a slide whether the policy that's going to be approved is there, it's been through all the processes, and then having a dedicated meeting with the council to approve all the policies and the registration. And also, can I take one thing, the corporate governance now? The corporate governance and we have noticed some deficiencies, but we have developed a corporate agenda that will ensure that all the processes are not operating to the exposure.
Chairperson, you're welcome.
Thank you, Shanna. On Kanbro, Kanbro had its meeting, but what happened, we realized that there are some gaps in very specific policies. Then we dedicated our Kanbro meetings to attending to those policies. We had a meeting scheduled for the 17th of March to look at the core policies that we are reviewing, because if you don't review them, they might have financial implications. So council has dedicated the meeting on the 17th, and we finalize our calendar as council. We have four standard meetings scheduled for 2016 and two special meetings for the same period. And the corporate government and the framework is work in progress. We are expecting to finalize it at the end of March. As indicated earlier on, draft charters have been received because we have increased the number of policies of committees to ensure that we also have a work and ethics committee plus a finance and procurement committee.
No, thank you very much, Chair. So I think that information assists us as well, first the committee. Right, other responses?
Chair, I just want to report on top of the typing when you speak about teachers, so that we have a full-page advert published. I just want to highlight to the committee that we have saved 53% of cost. How we have done that is through budget deals with various media partners and media houses. So because of selling the content, they were able to see the value in what the advertising has. We have been 63% of the budgeted advertising cost to be. So
63%
will be exceptionally well for them.
Let me just add, Jefferson, that we will ensure that we do not contravene the cost containment measures that have been put in place as we go forward.
Because we were looking forward to the same respect profiles of the board and the CEO in the next week's city press, you know.
Is that cancelled?
No, let me also attend the answer the question that Honorable Mbele on the challenges that we have in terms of the non-disclosure and compliance by companies. So what have we done about it? Chairperson, we are onto it. We've launched a campaign within our organization together with the industry to deal with it, non-compliance of under-declaring. What we've done is we've said to the industry we intend to take our entire database where we have security officers that are registered but have not been linked to any company, because that's exactly what they're using. We then change the status in the database to say not employed. So that when we do inspections, it could be very clear that this person is not employed. In other words, if we find that the person is not employed, it means that we haven't disclosed the person with the recognition. And we have had a target to almost go for about 100 more disclosures. So far, I think we're doing very well. We've seen a number increasing in terms of the disclosure. And there are other measures that they're doing also to force companies to disclose their employees. I think there was also a question about whether how was the costing done on the surveys. Chairperson, we are using also again a very competitive kind of. This one is not a very good service, we didn't advertise it. So what we did is we went and looked for companies that specialize in conduct service, and we obtained calls, three calls, and that's how we actually did the process. The other question, I think, let me leave it to my...
Yeah, sorry, Director, I think on the normal Abasi. Oh, later, okay. Please go ahead.
Yeah, I wanted to leave it to my colleague to explain perhaps the law enforcement area, which I think is very important to that he comes to the comprehensive argument.
Thank you, Chairperson. I think one of the questions that arise was the question of the increase of the law enforcement capacity. In this financial year, we appointed additional 10 inspectors. Some of them are currently under trained, so we've invested quite in the law enforcement department, ensuring that we build our capacity to increase our regulatory focus out there, and that trend will continue going forward as money is available. The issue of the firearm inspectors, yes, we were below 17 below target in our third quarter, but I can assure the members that we will reach our target. We've already had some operations in January and February, and we're very close to reaching our annual target.
Targets too low?
I was hoping you would cover that. Chairperson, I don't think the targets are too low. I think it was a question of us having appointed a lot more inspectors in this quarter, but you will also recall that in terms of the staff establishment, we're supposed to be around 280, and we're so far too low that figure. And also responding to the question of Honorable Mbele as to whether are we going to use the surplus to try to augment that kind of capacity. I think we have been very prudent, Chairperson, as you might know, that we are depending on these fees, so we are very careful in terms of how we do approach it, because it's quite very costly. At the same time, looking at the burden on the payroll side. We are currently moving the pension fund. You might know that we were converting from a much more effective pension fund scheme. So increasing the payroll would have actually set a burden on the pension fund. So I think there will be a lot more movement in terms of appointments after the conversion is done. So that we move forward.
Is that all the responses? Honorable Abadzi, Honorable Mbele, Honorable Bijan.
Yes, Chairperson, thank you very much. I still have a serious problem with foreign-owned security companies. They are up and running at the time. And I just want to get the answer. I mean this better. Thanks, Chair.
Honourable Billy.
Thanks, Chair. sorry, I can't find the slide that this question stems from, but it basically relates to the improved effectiveness of the issuing of the certificates and the ID cards. I just wanted to ask if you just expand on the reforms or the measures that the institute is to achieve that. So I think that might be a useful insight as to how turnarounds operationally can be achieved in the public sector. And in particular, I wasn't clear if that was done in-house or do you have a service provider that's contracted to do that? Yes, sir.
Honourable Peter, and then Honourable Fungu.
Mine is not a question, it's a comment. I should say, Mr. Chow, can you remember that I'm telling that you are just a frustrated. But I'd like to say that I should think the Peterson and yourself and the routine, they are now failing. We can see the difference. We can feel good.
Honourable Songwu, you're welcome.
No, I wonder maybe if Sula can maybe in the near future come up with an iron of a breakdown of this total number of the security companies that they have, the local and foreign. The reason why I'm particularly interested in foreign. You see, some of these companies you can clearly see, I'm talking to them, you can clearly see that these are running external forces inside of the country. And you wonder the link. Where is the link between law enforcement agencies of the country? If you have got so highly armed, heavily armed forces, more than even our first line of defense, the police. And I'm worried about the law enforcement report here. If you go there, then the quality that you get within the taxi industries in this particular moment is largely fueled by these forces who are heavily armed, who are also called for daily work. But you don't get it here. You go to China, go to Devon, then I start same killing of our people there. These people being directly involved. You don't have any mechanism to say, from the side of here, this is a mechanism whereby we are willing to impose this kind of a punishment. Now this kind of loose reporting like this, which is going to pretend that it may be things are just holy in this sector. It will be quite misleading to have to speak to the president. I'm very sorry about it. I have seen it. You go to China, you just see that you're in the war zone. I can see armed forces. Yes, you are a passenger, you are just not just in the war zone. People kill, nobody gets arrested, but you get these people directly involved. You go to Ulan, you are scared, guiltless. Directly involved. Those people are cutting us. Criminal counsel are there. They are not involved, these people. But you don't get any kind of oversight, kind of arrangement to ensure that there is a complete compliance with the laws of the country. When these people, we know that they are heavily armed, more than armed than keeping our own police. Thank you, gentlemen, that is the main one.
Thank you, Honourable Flungu. Yes, maybe just in terms of the financial presentation, I think we need more comprehensive breakdown of its financial statements. I mean, it can be provided to us later, not now. And I just want to get a sense. I will be meeting with the AG this afternoon. I just want to know, is the science good for this current audit year in terms of the AG's perspective on your financials? If you don't want to come, if you can't answer it, it's fine, but I just want to get a sense. If you're on track. Right, members, let's go to those.
Thank you, Chairperson. There's quite a number of questions. I would like to deal with the one question from the Honourable which I think it was quite much more elaborate. Honorable Makan, the question about the text about Jefferson. Let me explain it this way, just in quite very short. SUDAN has been involved in the issues pertaining to taxi violence in KZN. And our involvement in the situation there has been very, very elaborate and intense. And the reason I'm saying this is because we have received a number of complaints about violence where security companies are involved. We even commissioned a research around how and this can happen, who is involved, and what does it need to be done to try to curb those kind of violence. And we are working with the South African Police Services, we're working with the Intelligence Center, we're working with the South African Revenue Services in that scope, because we also realize there's a lot of plenty of money, cash, for those. And we were working with the Department of Transport and Safety in case of that. We have already had a number of individuals which the sector in KZN around the same issue, which we believe were very successful. We signed a number of MOUs between tax associations as well as the security companies to try to curb the violence. And with the public, where we even invited the premier of KZN to prevail in some of the ceremonies that we had in terms of dealing with tax violence. We have a very integrated action plan of dealing with that, where SAPS, CIRA have done combined inspections in those areas where there was violence. And as I said, we've already done the search. In fact, if Jefferson is recalled, in the National Crime Dialogue last year, we presented the report in the National Crime Dialogue around the issue of tax violence and what we've done about it, and the recommendations of that research. So I think we've played quite very active parts in that sense. We've come up with certain recommendations of what must be done in trying to deal with violence in that area. And we are more than happy to come represent the report again before this committee. So I think, Jefferson, it is not true that she has not done anything around that area. And I have not picked up any foreign companies or foreign national companies that are actually involved. The same problem has occurred in Gauteng. We are busy working with the MC for Transport, Honorable Rani, on the same matter. In fact, as far as a few weeks ago, we had a meeting with them to try to get the same problem. Same challenge also cropped up in Free State. We were working with the Free State PC, Provincial Commissioner, and his team to try to deal with the problem, because it was the same company that comes from KZN. I think that is not very comprehensively with us.
Yeah, maybe can I just add this, I just ask all the members and the staff, let's just adhere the protocol, tea time is at 11, let us just also show the extra respect to other ones. We can go ahead, thank you.
I'll address the issue of the security again, ID test. I think what we did first, if you recall, there was a time when we were doing it around time of 180 days. We worked on the internal efficiencies, operational efficiencies, by making sure that there's a proper info manual for staff. We train our staff on what needs to happen in order to get operations intact internally. Secondly, after we now cleaned our house internally, we went outside to make sure that we intensify our awareness to the stakeholders so that they know what the requirements. By the time they engage or come and register, they know exactly what is required. That sort of lesson and expedited the process of registration. And over and above that, we identified remote areas where we have not been to, or we don't have offices as the authority. And so let's take service to the people and make the authority service accessible to everyone. So that's what intensified or helped to improve the registration revenue.
Thank you, Jefferson. The aspect around the foreign companies, foreign-owned companies. Jefferson, I'm not quite sure if that's a very controversial kind of question, in the sense that, first of all, our legislation currently allows foreign-owned companies to work in the country. Secondly, in terms of the numbers, at one stage we actually did present numbers in the previous house, basically there isn't quite a lot of companies that are fully owned. Others it's quite difficult to tell because they have actually board ownership in the local companies. We haven't previously had the requirement where they have to disclose that. So that's a little bit challenging. We only know of the big ones and those that have disclosed. I do not think that it's a challenge. Perhaps the challenge might be the participation of foreign undocumented individuals in the industry, which I think is much more relevant to our enforcement. We have dealt with it, and I think we are educating quite a lot of people about the requirement of legislation and so on. Since we have implemented the link with Home Affairs and the rollout of new certificates, we've seen quite a lot of improvement in that sector as well. The foreigners who have stolen the identity of South Africans are unable to come through the system. We have had a number of reports by service providers saying that we think we have a person who false on a certificate. So we've seen that there is a spike in terms of investigation of those that have false certificates. Thank you.
Thank you. I think all of the deputy chairperson of the Star TV just come in.
Thank you, Chair. I just thought I should make this point regarding the ownership issue. I think that the basic is actually the government position. That government position has resulted in legislation to promote it in the past. And this is before the business for sense. That hasn't happened. The point I'm trying to make is that it's not just the ethos undocumented from the perspective of government. It is in fact grateful. But as you can really imagine, it's a controversial issue. Which from where we're sitting would require even greater discussion. Perhaps that is the reason why they're not in a subject to, but I just thought that we should recall that the reasons are actually introduced into the legislation was because it was perceived as being appropriate. Regardless of who owns, how many owns government, the seat of that is from government. So I'm just saying, couldn't be like that. And I worry that we'll come back to you again.
You are forcing me now, Chief, for the chairperson to ask me the obvious question. Is there any occasion, any news regarding the act?
No news. We haven't received any news except that we were invited to present in an investment committee where we were supposed to present challenges that might be posed by the implementation of the act, and that presentation did not take place because the minister was not available. So that's as far as the bill recently, but ours is no news.
Okay.
Well, the other responses in relation to the members, is it all the responses?
Thank you. The issue about the AG, the presence, yes, we have implemented our internal control because we are monitoring our progress. We have an action plan and we have an internal audit company that is assisting us, and the internal audit plan is designed to address the deficiencies that we noted. So we look at the decisions that are in the audit finding, and then we find our internal audit plan to focus on those issues so that we're moving to the right direction. So far, the plan is on track and we have addressed most of the time by the audit and the internal audit.
So, Chief, are you saying you're going to see a green flag? Not a yellow one. I'm not even talking about a red one. Other responses? There seems to be a follow-up by Honourable Thongwe.
When a tumor presents at the development of IC, we're talking about maybe IC that is going to help them be able to ensure certain oversight work over the security, private security entities, or in-house IT, that's for their development as a transfer. The reason why I'm raising that question is because, you see, amongst this, for example, that you go to Afghanistan, Iraq, and all this, some of these people are real military people, and highly, you know, they can put the country under great suppression even on this. We don't necessarily monitor what are they doing almost on daily basis in terms of transmission or whatever. In the longer time, it's spying on them, but to ensure that there is total control over them. Otherwise, we can have people just reporting transmission, transmitting information about our own country, which is in complete breach of national security of the country. Because I don't want to name one company from US in particular, what they call them, or something like that. Pure military. But that is not the security government. That is, we can actually bring about serious operations to the country. Even only if you have a proper mechanism to monitor them while they are operating in our country. It is very dangerous, and that's what I'm just checking with those normal and just saying, that private security. I want to be with that.
Thank you.
Thank you, Chair. Without being defensive, I certainly also address the fears of the honorable member in regard to how we are monitoring the private security system. Chairperson, as CIRA, we are part of the security cluster. So from time to time, we meet with the security cluster. We are also part of various committees that look into these kind of threats. To name one specifically, we are part of the counterintelligence structures in the country. We are very actively monitoring security companies and what they do. We work together with the SSA. So I have no worry when it comes to that. We are also sitting on the executive of the Security Managers Forum at all the structures, national, provincial, and local. We have also what we call the Government Security Regulator, where we have all government departments as well as government entities, where we talk to them about the requirements of having to monitor security companies and their operations, insofar as the security of government buildings are concerned and government key installations are concerned. So in that sense, I think we're fully covered. And comparatively, I think we're doing much more well than other countries that we've been to when it comes to the integration of looking at whether there are threats or not threats, insofar as it is concerned. So I think the honorable member can rest assured that area is well taken care of.
Right. Any other responses? I think it's all of them.
This is my last question. It was just triggered by the question and comments of Honorable Mthongo in relation to tax violence. For me, it's the same issue, but just a different angle to it. And it relates to the recent and ongoing unrest on campuses with student protests and the role and seemingly growing and increasingly visible role of private security firms in maintaining and addressing that protest violence. And, you know, coming from, because my constituency is the student sector, so it's something that's kind of salient for me, is, you know, there have been allegations of excessive violence by private security guards in their role as contacted by universities. Has CIRA received any complaints in this regard, and what's sort of happening around that? I assume that members of the public can bring complaints directly to CIRA about the conduct of private security firms. So if you could just speak on that for a bit, please.
Thank you very much. Any other member at this stage? directly often?
Thank you, Chairperson. Let's just give a broad kind of answer to this. Perhaps if Stefan has some data, he can actually fill us in as well. Chairperson, I'm quite aware that we are quite involved in the very specific question of the honorable member in dealing with the issues of violence in the student sector in higher institutions. I know that my colleague had had a meeting with stakeholders as far as last week, if I recall very well. We were overseas, but I'm quite aware that there was a meeting and addressing the conduct of security companies and how you should be behaving when dealing with violence or students and so on. We've also had a number of meetings dealing with the question of the insourcing, because the industry is quite concerned about giving the kind of insourcing that has been pushed by other student bodies and so on in universities. There might be quite a lot of non-compliance by universities because they don't have the expertise to actually run the secret services. So we are tackling those questions. We have seen complaints through the media. We haven't received, as far as I know, any formal complaint by a secret company, but we expressed that if there is any use of violence unnecessarily against students, we will be taking action against the specific secret companies. Stefan, I'm not sure if you have any details regarding the meetings.
Yes, thank you, Jay. As our director have indicated, we've been very much involved with the universities on issues of compliance. We've also quite increased our visibility at the universities as well to verify compliance of those security companies that have been contracted by the universities as well as the security offices at this point. We've recently, just last week, went to all the UNISA campuses and on invitation from the university as well to verify compliance. So in that regard, we are directly involved. And I can report that in terms of non-compliance, we're not finding unregistered security officers. We're finding registered and trained security officers. We've identified some concerns in terms of compliance with labor legislation, but that is being addressed.
Thank you very much. Any other members?
Thank you, Chair. May I ask, these security companies involved, do they have specific training on crowd control? You check that? I'm just not too much sure about that.
She's a Sira Pop.
There's not a specific crowd control curriculum prescribed for these security officers. The level that they employ is usually that we see at the level of grade C, is your patrol officer access control and some specializations in their skills, but not specifically crowd control. This is we are actually addressing with our new curriculum for the security industry as we go forward, and we're hoping to see regulations published or comments in this month, and then we'll move forward in implementing the newer curriculum for the security industry.
Honourable Berry.
Chairperson, if I may just a very brief comment is that on a big principle level, I don't believe private security should ever be involved in crowd management or public order crowd management on their own in partnership with the service, absolutely. But because crowd management and public order policing involves the use of force and coercion, usually in context of labor unrest or protest and that sort of thing. It's a very particular and sensitive constitutional issue. I don't believe the private sector should ever, in and of itself, act against people with force in those situations. But in partnership with the SAS, absolutely. But if things ever do move in that direction, can I just caution that the regulations, the training, the framework does not give private sector the space for coercive force in and of themselves against workers, students, whatever the case might be. That's a very dangerous area. Yeah.
Harika?
Thank you, Chairperson. Just to add on what Stefan has said, we do have events training as part of the thing that most of the companies and most of the guys we have. I know for a fact that there's only one security company that's very, very common that has got some sort of a crowd control training. They're called Red Ants. They specifically have that kind of training. But as we said, we are currently developing that country. And I do agree, I think that is the domain of the policy.
You're welcome.
Yes, just to add on, Jefferson, the event security or the crowd control is not to use force. The crowd control or event security is more to do with movement of people. In the event environment, for instance, in stadiums where the security officers work very closely with the SAPS in protecting and safeguarding individuals that, that attend these events, but it's not, they're not trained to use force in that particular period.
Honourable Fungu and then Honourable Fungu.
No, any other thing. No, on my side, it would be proper for that security to receive some elemental level of training in terms of crowd control. The reason being, you go to any mall, the first people who have got a contractual obligation between themselves as a private security and the owner of that property. This is just in terms of laws of the contract. It is these people. And which means there is a kind of response, whether we like it or we don't like it. Now, if and only if they are not properly trained, by the time police come, damaging them happens. So then it is fair upon my part that they are trained, but then knowing it very well, that in terms of communication and everything, it will be communicated effectively, in particular uprising that needs police reinforcement. But just to leave them poorly trained, it will be a cause for concern, a cause for concern. Because they will eventually then create more problems instead of quelling the situation.
Thank you very much, Honourable Funnelaw.
Chairperson, I hate to say it, but I can't believe that EFF and I can agree on this.
Thank you.
Can you put on the board, Professor?
Thank you, sir. So that's one comment in addition to the conversations that are taking place. We have come up to the chairperson of the university, head of the university vice chancellor. We will be looking throughout the meeting with them, not only just to discuss the reaction now, but also to look at possible models for institutions of higher education and secondly to what could be outsourced and what could be in-house. So that's the conversation that we are beginning with the USMS.
Director, anything from us?
That
would
be all from us.
Right, Lucas, anything else? Is that the bit?
Yes.
From your side. Right. Thank you very much to the honourable members and of course to the board. Everybody is attending today. We welcome that, and also to the management of CIRA. I think they, as one member said, they are on the right track, and we'll monitor the progress. We also what the annual report and the five financials with that interest to see if the projections is on track. So that's quite good. I think the important thing is that this sector is a very important sector. We need clarity about the bill. That's quite important because your regulations is still outstanding, and that affects your ability to regulate and enforce and monitor. The question of your inspection program is quite vital, and if your financials improve like it improves currently, and you've got a big surplus for the next year or two, I mean, I think it's going to be important also to increase your capacity to deal with inspections, because it's a major issue, and I think the members raised important issues this morning that should be followed up. I think we welcome also your interaction with the university sector. That's very positive, Chairperson, and I think we'll also await the outcomes of that to ensure that there is proper control, but also monitoring of training going forward. We'll also await the more detailed financials, the third quarter, that we can have a look at that as well. And I think it's important that your governance framework is now in place. But I think it will be also advisable going into the new financial year that you try to meet your quarterly targets and don't wait for the third or fourth quarter, because there's a risk, especially if you must get board approval. But I think the announcement by the chairperson of your board committees as well
and the risk committee and other committees, the monitoring committee, that's very positive. So I think at this stage Shira is moving in the right direction, but of course we will monitor the financial statements going forward. So thank you very much for your participation today. Thank you very much, members. The meeting is closed. And we will meet tomorrow 9 o'clock in G26, the South African Police Service. Thank you very much.
Thank you.